Sometimes you just have to read the signs, Locker. And you get lucky. Like when I said yesterday, I think Trevor Harris is going to sign tomorrow.
Britton, he had inside information.
I didn't have it.
He totally
If
did.
I had inside information, I would have said sources are telling me Trevor Harris is going to sign a contract tomorrow. I wouldn't have just brought it up in the wilderness going, I think it's going to be tomorrow. He signed December 6th last year. Not going to do the Friday news dump thing. They're going to do it on the Thursday. And Kirk was the only one in our pool that was paying attention. And he wins the beer from,
well,
at least
Mark
from
moving forward, everybody, if we ever do this again or anything like it, Jamie has inside information and just pay attention to what he's saying. And then just
again, if I knew something, I would have said, I know something. All I knew was he signed December 6th last year, and it just made sense.
All right. Raise your hand if you believe Jamie Nye.
Britton, come on.
Just can't believe you didn't tell me this inside information.
No, I mean,
I could have had the article written. I had to hustle.
You could have prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's Britton scrambling behind the scenes to get work done. Like, you ruined his day, Jamie. Do better.
You two jack wagons, stop it. Okay. Britton, Trevor Harris. Now I'm going to say something. Back-to-back Grey Cup champions. Truth or trash? What do you think?
Ooh. Now I think there's truth to it. How can you not with the... Now, I heard you talking to Dave Naylor. There's a lot of pieces that still need to fall in place across the entire CFL. It's really tough to predict this early, but Trevor Harris is back. Jeremy O'Day has proven not only can he put together a starting lineup, but a bunch of backups who can come in and this team doesn't miss a beat. Corey Mace has the right culture and everything in place. Why not in Saskatchewan? It's never been done.
Yeah.
It's never done until it finally is, and it feels like maybe this can be sustained success in Saskatchewan.
What about the three?
Three.
27 in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, they host in 2027.
They may never lose again, guys.
Careful.
You got a good base here, right? You've got strong leadership. You've got the quarterback back. There's a lot of reasons to be very optimistic about the upcoming year here. I think we're going to get a lot more news. I think this is the domino, and everything else is going to fall. I think that list of free agents is just going to, like, whoosh, it's going to be gone in seconds. And
yeah. Now, Jamie can correct me if I'm wrong, because I wasn't covering the team or around the team. But when Darian Durant, the foundation's there, right? It feels like they can go to multiple Grey Cups, but it's tough to win. It's tough to win Grey Cups in this league, but it feels like the team is on the right track to at least be in contention again.
I forget what year he signed that extension, but it was a major deal, right? Now, he was signing three-year extensions because he was, 27, 28 at the time, but he goes to back-to-back Grey Cups, and you were building something. Yes, the Greg Marshall year was, ugh, and they had to do a little bit of a reset, but you had your guy, and then you had G. Roy Simon come to believe in the team, and guys were re-signing with Andy Fantuz, and when it started to crumble, away they went, right? And they would be signing elsewhere. So, yeah, this is a major deal. This helps Jeremy O'Day and Corey Mace do their job now, which is bringing guys back. Interesting, Dave talked about the resetting of the price of the receivers because Keyshawn Johnson, Dante Myers, Sam Emelis, Keenan Schaefer, Baker. It's going to be very difficult to bring all four of those guys back, but they're sure as heck going to try.
And as free agents, there's going to be interest from other markets as well, right? So how?
Well, yeah, other receivers will want to come here too, if they need that.
Joe Robustelli, Tommy Nee, there is a lot of names the Riders have to figure out, and this is what Jeremy O'Day has to decide. Does this guy do something special, or can we fill that hole with someone else? Is this guy too injured? Do we have to get a guy who we know is going to be able to play the full season? There's a lot of tough decisions. Sam Emelis, to me, is the big one at the top. He's the guy you need to lock down in terms of receivers first and go from there and build around him, because not only is he, I think he is one of the best receivers in the league, that passport really helps out the Riders as well in the fact he's a Canadian.
Is he the next big domino to fall, or is it AJ?
AJ could be. Jamarcus Hardrick, AJ Allen, those are kind of Sam Emelis. Those are the dominoes, I think, in terms of the big ones. They'll be them because they're the guys who I kind of see as needing a lot of money to get, and guys who deserve a pay raise like Sam Emelis and AJ Allen do.
Do you have
Sam Emelis is my next guy.
That's your go-to?
I'm trying all you can to bring Sam Emelis back. Canadian. He had two back-to-back 1,000 yards. Yes, he was a little bit hurt this year, but top Canadian in the Grey Cup. He's my number one priority now on the list.
I'm very curious about the thought process and the conversations behind the scenes. The schedule's coming out. There's a lot of things that play into making this decision and making the announcement at 2:00 on a Thursday, right? Like, there's a lot that goes into it. Does this organization sit down with Trevor Harris and the agent and say, all right, let's get on the same page here, because it would benefit this organization to have an answer by... You think that was a legit conversation?
100%. This was contract number one, because not only do you lock down probably your best recruiter of bringing guys back on the offense, but now you know we're paying the quarterback this much. The quarterback gets paid the most. Okay. Where do we go from here? How do we get you the money? And I believe Dave also mentioned it's interesting this offseason with the extra money that came into the cap that teams didn't spend. The cap we expect to go up a little bit more. Maybe they do have some extra funds to kind of toss around there. And so it was important from that regard to get Trevor Harris done early.
Yeah.
Because now you can be like, well.
But did they say that? Did they push that? Was that a negotiation conversation with Trevor's agent and Trevor Harris, or no?
I don't think so. I think they want to get a deal done quickly as well, because Trevor knows the importance of building a team.
Yeah,
he was on quite a deal last year when you looked at what he's been able to do in the league. Trevor Harris wants to build this team. He's at a point in his career where it's all about getting Grey Cup rings and not necessarily the big payday.
And they don't have to announce contracts, do they?
No, they do not. Hmm. That is a question.
Will we find out about this one?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's some reporters have access to the back site of contracts that they can just
log in
and go, oh, that's his contract. There you go. That's this, that, and the other thing, and work their sources. I'm sure Naylor will have some info coming out on his contract. I'm guessing it won't be much more, if at all more, than what he got last year, but there is an uptick to the salary. We'll see what that looks like. But Trevor Harris is 40 next year. But he proved all the doubters wrong again this year, didn't he, Britton? There was that little lull in the middle of the season with clearly an arm issue that he readily admitted that was an issue, but it was taken care of clearly by Grey Cup, because he looked just fine in Winnipeg.
I mean, there is a little bit of concern. There always is when a guy gets to 40, even though Trevor Harris, listening back to the interview you had with him and AJ Ouellette, said, it just my age is the only reason there's a discussion. He feels great. He looks great. He's been playing well. Absolutely. There is concern. It takes longer to bounce back. Where does the lull come? Trevor Harris, at least, is a guy who evolves. He trains the right way. He's always looking how to improve and how to get back on the field. I'm going to say there's still some concern around a 40-year-old quarterback, but he's proven he can do it. And until it's proven otherwise, you have to believe that he will be able to stay healthy and continue to play at this high level.
Well, on our interview from 2 weeks ago,
they were working out that day.
They're already working out, and Trevor Harris said he did want to work on being able to run better. So that was
whatever that means. Like,
yeah. T-Mobile, man.
No. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around what that means, like, in the gym, but I'm sure they've got it all figured out, right?
He told us earlier he wanted a 30-yard run just to prove it. So maybe next year he finally gets that 30-yard run.
You know what surprised me about Harris? And I, you know when I noticed it was when we went to Winnipeg And you were like, you should come down to the field. And I'm like, we can? So we had the passes. This is my first time at Grey Cup. So Jamie takes me down. He goes, we'll get a picture with you down to the field. We're allowed down here from this period. So there was a bunch of players down there warming up, right, before anybody was even in the building. And Harris is surprisingly flexible.
Yeah, we saw him in his stretching routine.
I was like, what? Like, that is not, like, football players and hockey players now, and in most sports, they've got mobility exercises, and they call them mobility exercises because there's still a stigma.
They don't want to say yoga.
They don't want to say yoga, but a lot of them are doing yoga moves, right?
Yeah.
And when we were watching him warm up outside in the cold before that game, it wasn't that cold, but before that game, I was like blown away by how flat. So I think there's a lot of these athletes that end up in their fourth, like talking about Corey Perry.
Yeah.
They do a lot of mobility stuff now where it's like, it's body weight exercises and it's more about being nimble than it is about benching 450 pounds.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah. And that even AJ Olette changed. Like his coaches said, stop lifting so much damn weight. They did. They're like, stop it. Like, you don't need to lift and prove you can lift 700 pounds. That does nothing.
Yeah.
We need you to last longer, and big-time lifting isn't doing that. But Trevor Harris is back. One more year.
For now.
Or maybe more.
Maybe more.
Or do you think he announces this is his last dance tomorrow when you talk to him at 10 a.m.?
No,
not a chance.
I don't think so. Not only do I think he'll play another season, Trevor Harris doesn't strike me as a guy who wants a retirement tour like that.
Well, I also get the sense that he likes to take time to think about stuff, right?
And also, if he's as good as he was this year again next year, why are you stopping, really? Especially if he gets another Grey Cup ring. That's Britton Gray. He's got a lot more online. And, of course, Britton and I are recording the Blitz podcast tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, CFL's fastest-growing podcast, the Blitz podcast, your hosts, Jamie Nye and Britton Gray. Get it where you get your fine podcast today.
Preferred on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe.
On those big 80-inch televisions.
Yeah, HD.
That's a problem.
4K.
Absolutely. The Blitz in 4K. I don't know if I even want that. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on this Thursday night football tonight. The Dallas Cowboys taking on the Detroit Lions.
It's our game of the night.
It's got to be the game of the night. It's a huge game for playoff probability.
Implications.
For both these teams. I've got the Lions. You're going with the Cowboys.
We're going to have quite a bit of movement in our Green Zone Celebrity NFL Pick'em Pool for week 14 because...
Careful on the celebrities, like celebrity.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to sort of...
Got
to
put the air quotes over
air
that.
Air quotes over that one.
We're just a bunch of radio noobs.
I think Dallas, I don't know. You watched the last... And they're beating teams they shouldn't be beating, too. How did you go with the Lions? Just because they're... There's more desperation in Detroit than
it's at home. It's in Detroit. I know Amon-Ra St. Brown might miss that one. Yeah.
They've got some injury issues. The Lions, Cowboys are pretty healthy right now, aren't they?
More or less.
I don't think it's a runaway game for the Cowboys.
Well, if the Cowboys win, that's good for the Green Zone gang against the FM jocks. So I guess.
We're only leading by 1 point.
It's very tight.
It's been very tight this year.
I'm no longer in last. I've jumped over Sherry from Jack 94.5 and
that only
Rock 102.
13 weeks. You've been bringing up the rear since we started this pool, Jamie. You're in your head. Your picks have been a little bit.
Leading the way is our NFL go-to Belton Johnson, though. He's having a much year than he did last year.
Behind Belton.
Jamie and Locker with you on a Thursday. We were having some fun at the Olympics, not having their rink ready and getting your recommendations on what rink to get to. Wilcox, Saskatchewan, Olympic-sized ice. Of course, the Notre Dame Hounds moved to Warman. Should be available. Fillmore rink. But Locker, real quick, fries at a small town rink.
Oh.
What do you got? Is seasoning salt?
Yeah, yeah.
White vinegar? You have any vinegar on there?
I like the crinkle fries. I know you like real fries.
If I go to a barn and there's a bucket under a potato, like the potato fry cutting machine, I know you're getting high quality fries. They're not opening up a bag of McCain's and throwing it in there. That's some high quality potato that's coming out of that.
But I do like the Heinz seasoning salt on the fries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Seasoning salt for sure. Of course, big day for Saskatchewan. Trevor Harris has signed a new contract, but it was a big day the other day for a Saskatchewanian. Ben Hebert is going back to the Olympics.
Needs to hit and roll towards the pin. Needs to hit and roll towards the pin. You need to hit, roll to the pin. How's that? And it's off to Italy for Team Jacobs.
Yes. And that we had to cut that audio short because Benny swore.
I'm telling you, that was Brad dropping the F-bomb. That wasn't me.
Oh, that was Brad. Oh, okay.
Every minute of it.
Okay, sorry. I don't want you to get fined for it.
So hold up. Ben, can I ask you a question about the swearing? Because I find it wildly entertaining because you guys are mic'd. And then, the McEwen rink was the one that I heard the most during the trials. But does anybody come down and go, hey guys, just a quick reminder, you guys are mic'd. Does that happen at any point during these tournaments?
Like not at the trials. Like if someone said that to one of our teammates at the trials in the middle of a game, I'm sure they're going to hear worse things than they heard for the first reason they came down. I mean, we know we're wearing mics. We know it's on TV. You know, we know there's a lot of people out there that have never been exposed to swearing, apparently, because we do take a lot of flack for it. It's a bit of a joke. I mean, we're playing a sport at a high level and swear. I mean, if you haven't heard swearing, you haven't been on the internet the last 20 years. So, I mean, if you're that pure of a human, man, come save me because I'm not even close.
Well, you and Corey Mace can have a discussion because he got a little heat from
he
his
got some heat.
Parade.
He's amazing. And I know him. I got to know him actually when he was in Calgary because he's good buddies with Bo. And then I've chatted with Corey a couple times. He came to the Brier last year with Jeremy O'Day, who's a buddy of mine. And I've heard nothing but good things about him on the coaching side. And I got to meet him personally. And I think I would get along just perfectly fine with Corey Mace. He's a great guy.
So great dude.
Congrats to him and the Riders. What a great show that was.
Yeah, absolutely it was. But what a great show you guys put on with Team Jacobs. What was it with the decision to go with Brad and allowed things to click so quickly for this team, Ben?
Well, Brad's just been, I mean, he's been one of the best skips in the world for the last, you know, 10, 15 years, right? And so he just wanted to take a little time for himself. It's a grind on the road, and he had two young kids, take a year off. And, you know, truth be told, if he wouldn't have taken that year off, he would have been our skip at the start of the quad. But I wouldn't change anything. We had two good years with Brendan and then bring in Brad for that little extra level that we needed to win the championships. And, you know, Brad was the perfect fit for us. He was exactly what we needed. Little, you know, kick in the ass when we needed a little extra energy and some great leadership and amazing shot making work ethic. So, we've had, almost 2 years together now. We've been Team Canada three times and we're going back to the Olympics as Team Canada and the Brier as Team Canada. So, it's always nice when you're wearing that maple leaf, especially as much as you have with us these last couple of years. And makes this old guy feel real young again, like I'm right in my prime. So it's a great situation to be in.
Ben, can you speak to, listen, I don't want to diminish any of the other tournaments or any of the other competitions that you take part in, but is there another level when you get a chance to represent your country?
No, it's by far the best. I mean, for those who haven't experienced it, they can't really comment unless they're hearing rumors. So, you know, I've had lots of experience getting to represent your country. And I mean, hey, there's a lot of pride when I was growing up, when I got to represent Saskatchewan. And when I moved to Alberta, you get to wear Alberta and you know, you wear the provincial colors and there's a lot of pride to be taken from that. And those are really important events as well. But, you know, the next level of that is representing your country. And now I'm not playing for, you know, Chestermere and Calgary and Regina anymore, right? We're playing for Ontario. We're playing for Nova Scotia. You're playing for BC. You're playing for everybody. So, you know, you go from having a small fan base and a couple of haters to a really, really big fan base and a lot of haters. So it's great. You know, that's how it works.
So Ben Hebert's joining us, of course, so lead of Team Jacobs, lead of Team Canada, going to Italy I imagine you're happy that you do have an arena to play in other than your hockey compatriots right now. The venue sounds like it's all ready to go for Italy. But how will this compare to 2010 competition-wise, Ben? We've just seen it grow, curling grow internationally. A lot more teams are playing in North America on the Grand Slam Tour. Like, do you just know a lot more about your opponents than you did maybe 15 years ago in Vancouver?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. You know, because if we would have known more about our opponents in Vancouver, we might have been having a couple more nights out. But it's way tougher. It's way tougher now. I mean, the teams are so good. The Grand Slams really created that. Having all the teams from, you know, Scotland, Sweden, Norway come over the last 12, 15 years and really develop their skills and what their country wants to do with one or two top teams. And it's certainly no question Canada's still the best curling country in the world. It's not even close by a mile. The depth we have here, you know, the fan support, the sponsorship, the television deals, like curling in Canada is really what drives the whole sport. But that's not to say that these other countries don't have one or two really, really good teams that they put all their, you know, funds and time into, and it's going to be real, real tough to go there. And, you know, we were looking to draw the other day, looking for a couple easy games. You're like, holy smokes, this is tough. So, but, you know, we're a tough team too. No one at that Olympic field was excited when we won. I can promise you that. We had a great week in Moose Jaw as a good template for us when we went 12-2. And so, we know we can compete and win at that level, and that's what we're going to try to do.
I want to talk about that because when I was watching the trials, Ben, my wife and I, after, you know, a week of watching all the curling, the one thing about your foursome this time around was, I mean, quite often you'll have somebody that takes a night off or somebody has a week 10, right, or something, or it's just a little bit. You guys, all four of you, were firing on all cylinders. Was that something that you guys were cognizant of when you were in it? Like, oh my goodness, we are all like on the same page here, and we're curling our minds out right now.
No, not really. I mean, that's the DNA of our team. That's why you have, you know, myself, Brett Gallant, Mark Kennedy, and Brad Jacobs. I mean, those four names, you know, bring a lot of energy and experience and talent to a team. And that's why we put the team together. And, you know, none of that really surprises me with those guys. Those are, you know, curling animals and some of the best players to ever play the game. It's probably more regular that all four of us are coming out with the same energy and performing like that. And you know what? It's something that we work on. You know, we work on it with our sports psych and our coach and to come out and play hard for each other, be great teammates. And if someone is leaking oil, make sure you pick them up and do something else to help the team. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it outside of the 2.5 hours you guys see on TSN. And, you know, I wouldn't want to go to battle with any other dudes, the three guys that we have and myself. You know, we have a really good team chemistry. I think one thing really special about our team is, you know, we're older guys, but we're all still, you know, working hard in the gym, great shape, but our minds are sharp. You know, we're all dads. We have great perspective. And we got some warriors in that dressing room. Like, I go to war with any of those guys, so I love them.
Benny, I'm curious on this one. Thinking back when Trevor Harris, when he won the Grey Cup, and he talked about, you know, my kids are old enough to really know what this means. Is this, does that impact just what it means to you to be an Olympian this time around? Like, your kids are well old enough to really know what dad just accomplished.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's incredible. It's certainly a lot different. You know, Vancouver, I was a kid myself, right? I was 25 years old, and then went in Pyeongchang, you know, my kids were 1 and 4 and still didn't kind of get it. It was just cost me a lot of money to fly them over there. But, you know, now my daughter's playing U15. She's loving curling. My son's loving it. You know, their friends at school and their friends' parents are all asking about the curling and they're all pumped. And yeah, they're pretty excited. I actually just picked my daughter up from school and we're at her ball practice here. And she was asking me questions about Italy and she's super excited to go. And, you know, we're decking them out in all the Team Canada gear there. I'm sure my wife's going to murder my visa here before Christmas. We should be loaded in Canada gear. I'm going to be broke, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm super excited. I mean, for myself to go, you know, my wife's been with me now for all three of my games, and you know, for my kids to experience this one, and I can promise you this is going to be my last one. So to have them there is going to be super special. I hope we can win a medal, and yeah, it's going to be memories they have for the rest of their life. So pretty special for our family, that's for sure.
Ben, one of the conversations we were having during the trials when you guys were in Halifax was last stone draw. We were also talking a little bit about the best of three, but I had an idea, and I bounced it off Russ and a couple of other people. So I know it's a brilliant idea already. But
yeah, Russ Howard was a big supporter of this for a tiebreaker formula.
Instead of last stone draw, I'm thinking it goes down to patch points, and you get points for how many beers you drink in a patch at night and things like that. So I'm wondering, out of the four of you, who would have scored the highest in Halifax?
On Saturday night? Well, we didn't drink during the event.
No.
We don't, no. Saturday night, who is the winner? Oh, man, I don't know. Me, Brad, and Brett, like, equally tied, all three of us. Blew the doors off. You know, Mark was our the man DD for us, and I think me, Brett, and Brad put as many down the hatch as we could, and we had a hell of a party Saturday. I think we shut down at about 5, went to bed, woke up at 10, got up in the morning and crushed a few mimosas with the boys. So
nice.
We did our best, our best bachelor party celebration there for 2 days. And then I realized I'm 42 and I drank water for the next 5 days. Exactly. It was awesome. Yeah.
It's like me coming home from Grey Cup week, Ben. All right, Ben, congratulations. Can't wait to watch you in Italy. And is this right? You're flying right back for the Briar right after Italy. You're going to be in the Briar a week later.
Well, God, a week later. I wish if it was a week later, I'd be excited. Like 2 days later, I think we get home from Italy on Monday, and then we got Tuesday, Wednesday. We leave Thursday morning for
New York. No way. Okay.
So we'll be. I'll tell you what. We'll be taking a fifth. And when you see me not playing a couple games, it's not because I'm hurt. Okay. I'm taking a breather.
That is Ben Hebert. Back to the Olympics for the third time, looking for a second gold medal. Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, Champs and Chumps, a locker you would like the chump. The Italy Olympic Committee and those who are trying to build a hockey rink in 2 months.
What are you doing? Like, how do you, first off, it's too short. Wouldn't that be one of the things you would do? Hey, we're building a hockey rink. How, what are the dimensions? How do you mess that up?
I guess it's like a meter short.
Ah, darn it. It's ridiculous. And it's not the fact that it's not going to be ready. And now you get the IOC and you got Hockey Canada and the NHL now all fighting with the, you know.
Bill Daly said they won't go if the standards aren't right.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this tournament for the last couple of years.
When they announced that they were going, I'm like, oh, this
I might
is
take that
be
month
so
off
good.
Just to watch Olympics. Probably not.
I don't know if that's allowed, but. Dibs? Chump. The fact that they're... How is it not done right now? Like, they've known they'd had the Olympics for a long time. How is it not done already?
Well, they're supposed to have test events, and they've been canceling those the last
absolute
week or
failure.
So.
Our champs, the 32 nominees of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award in the National Football League was announced today, and... Travis Kelce is up for the Man of the Year Award in the NFL. His 87 and running charity helps out, of course, unfortunate youth in the Kansas City area. He does a load of hospital visits and school visits.
He does that tight end. As much as I don't like Travis Kelce, he does that tight end school every year in the offseason as well. That's, yeah.
Yeah, Travis Kelce has done a lot in the Kansas City area. Other nominees include Max Crosby of the Raiders as well. But all 32 nominees, you can check it out on the NFL social, all 32 nominees for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. Do you think?
I think Kelce will get it.
You think Kelce will get it?
Yeah, he's a big name off that list, and it'll bring attention to that award.
And it might, Kansas City might not be in the Super Bowl, so they have to do something for Kansas City that week for the awards night. And maybe it'll get Taylor Swift there as well, I imagine. Might be I mean,
all that. Travis Kelce is deserving of it.
Oh, absolutely.
At the same time. We can make fun of it, but yeah.
32 nominees mentioned today. We'll see who the winner is when NFL honors in Super Bowl week. There's your champs and chumps.